And welcome, listeners, to another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We're really glad to be here. My name is Dr. Z, Dr. Eugene Zamperone, naturopathic physician, one of the founders of the Bridgeport College of Naturopathic Medicine, herbalist, and your host for this program. Dr. Kamai, the natural nurse, has the week off. And we have an exciting show today. Remember, you can always get in touch with us or check out our latest walks and talks and eco-tours and events at naturalnurse.com and also on Facebook as well. And we have really a great, great program today with Michael A. Smith. And Dr. Smith is an author and nationally known media personality. He does a radio talk show like we do, creates and conducts webinars, and appears in informational health and wellness videos, which we've watched. And he's very good about making complex issues very simple to understand. And when Dr. Smith hears the question, I eat a pretty healthy diet, do I really need to take supplements? His answer is always a resounding yes. In his book, The Supplement Pyramid, which we're going to discuss today, he covers the many reasons why even the healthiest diets fall short in terms of supplying the optimum amounts of nutrients we need not just to survive, but to thrive. And so with the three-tiered plan, which we're going to talk about, let Dr. Smith talk about, you can understand when you walk into the health food store and look around what to buy, what's good for you, and not just what's on sale or the herb of the month or the vitamin of the month, because there's a, you know, there's another side to this too. There's also people trying to sell things as well. So we need a balanced approach, and Dr. Smith, or Dr. Mike, as he's known on numerous syndicated national TV and radio shows, who's a graduate of University of Texas, is going to talk about us. Dr. Smith, welcome.
Hey, Dr. Z. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Great. I'm glad that you made a time to talk to us.
Sure, now, of course.
In your book, in Chapter 1, you defend the assertion that folks need to take dietary supplements and then summarize your points in your thesis, kind of like a PhD thesis, with the bottom line. Kind of defend your thesis here. Pretend you're doing a PhD thesis and you have some scoffing people that don't want to give you your diploma, and you have to defend your assumption that people need supplements.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Dr. Z, it's easy to defend when you look at the science. These aren't Dr. Mike-isms. I mean, I actually did the research and came up with what I believe to be five solid scientific facts for why people need to take supplements today. You know, the first one actually comes from, by the way, the United States government, showing us that even if our foods were as healthy as they should be, and we'll get into that in a second, the Americans aren't eating the healthy foods. They came out with a report showing that the average American is very deficient in the vitamins and the minerals, and I have a table in there from the USDA report. You know, vitamin A was like 90% deficient, magnesium 50% deficient. I mean, they're all there. All these statistics are in this table that I included in the book. And so even if the food we were eating was the way it's supposed to be, we're just not eating it. Most people are, you know, when they go into the grocery stores, Dr. Z, they shop in the middle aisles. And we don't want to do that. That's where all the processed packaged foods are. We want to be at the fresh food parts, which is at the ends of the aisles, or the ends of the
store. Like
stores.
The periphery.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's
outside,
where we want to shop. Interesting, there was a group of students out of the University of Texas. They went into some of the common grocery stores in South Texas, I think it was, and they took pictures of people's food baskets, you know, the grocery baskets.
Yeah.
And what was really interesting about it is from those pictures, they determined that about 90% of the food was coming from the middle aisles.
Oh.
Isn't that horrible? So they took it a step further. They then shopped on the outside the way it should be. They took a picture of that, and they had these comparison pictures up of a food basket from the middle aisle versus the outside aisles. And when you look at the outside aisle food, you're talking about fresh fruits and vegetables, You're talking about the fermented foods, you know, hopefully lean cuts of meat versus all the packaged food. And when you looked at the comparison pictures, it was like, wow, I didn't realize how much, you know, boxed food and processed food right. Americans are actually eating. So that's the first thing. The United States government supports me in this. We're just not getting the right amount of vitamins and minerals that we should be getting. But here's the second fact for why I think we need to be taking supplements. Even if you do eat well, and Dr. Z, I'm sure you do, and I know a lot of times, you know, the audience that we speak to on our shows, sometimes we preach to the choir. I know that my audience is generally interested in health, and they do a pretty good job with diet, and I'm sure yours does too, right?
Yeah.
The problem is, even if you're eating the fresh organic produce every single day, 6, 7, 8, 9 servings, 10 servings the way we should, unfortunately, the food today is simply not as nutrient dense as it used to be. And this comes from reports starting back in the 1920s. You know, when you look at soil surveys, the United States started looking at the health of our soils at the turn of the last century. And they concluded, now this is before, by the way, the Great Depression and before the Dust Bowl era that happened in the 1930s. Before all that, they deemed that our soils were nutrient poor. Mainly of the minerals, like magnesium, copper, selenium. We were missing these important minerals that are so important to producing healthy crops. That was back in the 1920s. And then when I discovered that research, I said, okay, well, what have we done? I mean, did we do something with that type of information and try to improve soils? And the answer was pretty much no. I mean, there's been some rejuvenation efforts in local farms, mostly in the South, within the past, say, 20 or 30 years. But these are small farms, so if you're not buying real locally, if you don't know the farmer, if you don't know how they're taking care of the land, most likely, even if you're eating organic food from your favorite health food store, it's still nutrient poor. Right. So if you're eating the 10 servings of colored fruits and vegetables like you should, you're not getting the right amount of micronutrients and minerals that you should be getting, that you deserve to be getting from the food. So that's the second fact. The third fact has to do with just how we live our lifestyles today. You know, we live in a 24-hour information news cycle. We're constantly in contact with everything, right? I mean, we have TV, radio shows, and we have technology, which is good, but has a downside. We're constantly reading about crazy things going on in the world. We're in constant contact with family, friends, spouse, and on one end, that might sound okay, but when we never turn that kind of stuff off, it's causing a lot of chronic stress for people. And you know, we have a wonderful built-in anti-stress system in the body to deal with cortisol and the epinephrines and all these stressful neurotransmitters, but we just overwhelm the system today. So chronic stress, which leads to a lot of insomnia, by the way, is just really causing a lot of problems, which is a third reason, I believe, that we need to take supplements. Fourth would be just the toxic environment. You know, when I was researching the book, Dr. Z, And actually, this extended from a show that I did on Suzanne Summer's show. She used to have a show on Lifetime Television, and I was lucky enough to get on her show a couple of times. And one of them, we talked about environmental toxins, and we looked at a report from the EPA that was done in 2009, showing that on average, the average person living, say, in a city environment has upwards of 500 to 600 industrial chemicals in their bloodstream. I mean, think about
that. Yeah, that,
I mean,
was the adipose study, I think, right?
Yeah,
the National adipose study.
And from that, that study actually came from a one before that
okay.
showed that the EPA allowed, and this is, again, this is maybe going back to 2008, so I don't know what the numbers are today,
yeah.
but the EPA allows 70,000 approved industrial chemicals. And those chemicals aren't things you find in factories. They're found in your household products. I mean, and so just the environment that we live in, and again, we have a wonderful internal detox system, right? It's called the liver. It's
sure.
amazing. It's an amazing, resilient organ, but it's just overwhelmed. So here you have, we don't eat the right amount of fruits and vegetables. Even if we do, we have poor soils producing poor crops. We have chronic stress. We have the environment that we live in. And just when you put it all together, Yeah, I really do believe, and I stand behind this statement that we need supplements today because food is just not enough.
And then, you know, it's an interesting thing just from the individual perspective. Sometimes, I remember just last week I was doing an amino acid analysis on a patient looking at all their amino acids, and I got this report back, and it seemed like they weren't eating any protein at all. And I was like, okay, where is it going? It's going down the toilet, because they were eating plenty of both right. animal and vegetable protein. So you are what you absorb, is the old naturopathic saying that Dr. Bastier used to say.
Right, right, absolutely. And that's why, you know, if we talk a little bit about the pyramid today that I developed, you know, one right. of the key nutrients I talk about are probiotics. You know, we gotta improve the health of our gut. Because at the end of the day, if we improve our soils, improve our food, if we start eating the way we're supposed to eat, if our gastrointestinal system isn't working, we're just not going to be very healthy anyways. It doesn't really matter, does it?
So in Chapter 2, you give us an overview of that supplement pyramid. It has three tiers, am I right?
Yeah, three tiers. So it has the foundation, which is the base of the pyramid. Then you move up to the personalization part. This is where we figure out what your issues are and then line you up with those supplements that are best for you. And then the top part of the pyramid I call optimization, which is all about countering the known cellular aging mechanism. So we have foundation, personalization, and optimization. I got to tell you, coming from, you know, as a medical doctor, as you know, we're just not. The allopathic paradigm is really not about prevention. It's really about disease recognition, and then from there, countering that disease process. So we don't learn a lot about nutrition and supplements and how they can prevent any, and definitely not about treating disease, because we're going to use our chemicals. And so when I was practicing in that paradigm, there was something interesting that I started noticing more and more in my patients. We're taking some of these core foundational supplements that we can talk about. And what I noticed is that in all of my patients that were taking these supplements, maybe not all four, because there's four foundational supplements in my opinion, they were doing better. Even if they had something, Dr. Z, by the way, let's say they had high blood pressure, or maybe they had known coronary artery disease or a nerve issue, whatever it was, they did better overall. Their outcomes were better. They were seeing me less. They had less side effects. Whatever it was, people taking these, the four foundational products were doing better. So I really felt like I needed to start there. Mm-hmm. And so that's why before you even worry about, you know, maybe some of the more specific nutrients that might help you, I do believe that a high quality, what I call ideally dosed multivitamin, the omega-3 oils, the ubiquinol CoQ10, and the probiotics, those are the four foundational products, are just absolutely critical. These are the products that your body really is based upon. These are the things that keep us being healthy humans, right? And so I really believe that until you have those four products going, or at least most of those, right, anything else you do just isn't going to be as impactful for you, not as meaningful, and until you get those four foundational products going.
What was the big study recently that showed that multivitamins were not good for people, or it had to do with something? Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was the physician. I can't remember the full name of the study, but this was an ongoing population study, and it's involving doctors.
Yeah.
Most of them medical doctors in this country, and weirdly enough, most of them male doctors in the country. But mm-hmm. It's called the Physician Something Study, and I'm sorry, the name just went blank on me. But they reported late last year, right? And you're still seeing some of the headlines, by the way,
mm-hmm.
that a multivitamin does nothing in terms of heart disease and cancer, and may even be harmful. That was kind of the main study there. Well, here's. And I'm glad you brought this up, Dr. Z, because working at Life Extension as the senior scientist, we do a lot of work offering rebuttals to the negative studies, the negative headlines. And which, by the way, unfortunately, I think your audience needs to be aware that if you thought 2013 was bad with negative studies, wait to late 2014, 2015, because there's a bunch of studies that are completing now coming out of conventional medical centers. And many of them, we do believe, are quite biased towards a negative headline for supplement use. So we need to prepare our listeners for this. So this specific study, it was so flawed, it drives me crazy. The first thing I want to tell your listeners about this study is that they were given a multivitamin, and they were given, and I don't want to go into brand names.
Sure,
okay,
but, no, you don't need to.
Yeah, but
it's not commercial anyway.
Yeah, let's just call it a very generic multivitamin.
Okay.
All right, and what I mean by that is this. Most of the generic multivitamins, and I'm putting my hands in quotations when I say that, are still based upon a very archaic dosing system, Dr. Z. And you know this.
Yeah.
They're based upon the recommended daily intake, right?
Right.
This is a system that, by the way, if you want to prevent something like rickets and scurvy, go for it. The recommended daily intake is really good at preventing vitamin deficiencies. It has nothing to do, though, with disease prevention and treatment, right? That takes a higher dose. And I coined a term in the book called the ideal daily intake. I simply went in, and let's just use vitamin C as an example. This generic multivitamin that these doctors were on in this study were taking a product that had about 50 milligrams of vitamin C. That's enough to prevent scurvy. So if this was an anti-scurvy study, perfect. The headlines would have been positive, right?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that's not what this study was designed to do. They were looking at some pretty heavy-duty age-related disorders like heart disease and cancer, right? And
yeah,
they were looking at a dosing system that really was never meant to prevent heart disease and cancer. It was meant to prevent, you know, vitamin deficiencies. So right there, that tells you this study was going to fail. I mean, I could have predicted that when I first read this study, when
right,
I saw what they were using. You know, I knew that it wasn't going to work. Here's what's interesting, though. Here's what the headlines didn't show you. So here you have this study. They're taking a generic multivitamin that's based on an archaic system, a dosing system called the recommended daily intake. They're looking at some heavy-duty outcomes like cancer and heart disease. And overall, the study did fail, and that makes perfect sense. They were doing a bad product. But statistically speaking, even though it didn't become statistically significant, there were actual improvements in reducing the risk of heart disease with this generic multivitamin. A lot of people don't know that because it was never reported. So in one hand, it didn't make their outcome, you know, of reducing heart disease and cancer significantly, but there were some strides made in reducing heart disease risk, even with this generic multivitamin. But, of course, that was buried in all the, you know, in the paper, and it just didn't come out in the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're going to see more and more of these types of studies come out. They're using low-dose products, in many cases low-quality products. They're trying to show if a supplement works against diseases that are epidemic today, and diseases that are multifactorial, like diabetes and heart disease and cancer. And when they fail, they're going to tell you, it doesn't work. You might as well stop taking your supplements. Keep in mind that with these age-related disorders, Dr. Z, the pharmaceutical drugs don't even work. In
yeah,
many cases.
Of course. That's why so many people are on them, and there's polypharmacy, and
they're still dying from these.
Right, exactly.
Disorders.
So that's a very good point. And this
they're using low dose, and they're looking at diseases that are complicated, you know. And by the way, too, when you look at the lifestyle of many of the subjects in the study, you know, they use surveys to decide how people are living, what their diet is like, whether they're actually taking their supplement or not. And we know surveys are just inherently
They're not
unreliable.
It's not based on, like, auditing doctor's charts and
no,
things like
not
that.
At all. So there's a lot of flaw. But bottom line is when you see a negative headline, and this is for your listeners, just remember there's a lot of limitations to that study that's probably driving.
And then who funded it? Who funded the study?
Of course.
And
you find a lot
like
of biasness there. Absolutely. So so what we in our rebuttal, by the way, at Life Extension, and you can find this at lifeextension.com.
Mm-hmm.
In our rebuttal, we went through everything we just kind of talked about, but at the end we also made a statement that, oh, by the way, even with this generic multivitamin, there were some improvements in cardiovascular parameters.
Right.
Which is pretty amazing for a product based on a dosing system that's supposed to prevent rickets and scurvy.
Now, in Chapter 3, you talk about how to choose high-quality supplements.
Oh, yeah.
So what's some of the questions consumers should be asking about the four basic elements of supplements and also mistakes people make when taking supplements?
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, I think that's a great question. I mean, this is a tough one, too, because there's so many products on the shelves now, which is
right,
a good thing, I think. But we do have to be careful. First of all, every supplement that is manufactured in the United States does have to follow good manufacturing practices. So it's going to be a safe product. The question is it as potent as what is claimed on the label? And so the first thing I like my patients to do and customers with life extension that I talk to, and I'm sure you would agree with this, Dr. Z, is it's probably a good practice in most cases to stick with companies that have been around a while, that have good track records. And in the back of my book, I list, I think, about 15 or so companies that I just think always produce high-quality products. And so that's going to give you some confidence to stick with them. Unfortunately, there are some fly-by-night companies that are simply trying to make a buck off the latest, nutrient that Dr. Oz, mentioned. And I just don't really know what's really in that capsule. I mean, they did have to manufacture it following GMP, but at the end of the day, what's actually in that capsule, it may not hurt you, but it's probably not going to do you any good. And unfortunately, in some cases, they do add some things, that could be harmful. So stick with companies that have been around a while, that have that good track record. And here's the other thing. Everybody, when you buy a product, and yes, this is an added step, and it seems maybe to some people listening like, am I really going to do this? But yeah, my answer is you should, because we spend more time, by the way, deciding what cell phone we're gonna purchase next than we do about buying supplements, and this is for our health. And it's a simple question. It just takes an extra step. You should, before you purchase the product, on the back label is a manufacturing number on the label. As a matter of fact, there should be a manufacturing number. If there's not, that's probably a good sign you don't want to buy that product, but there should be a number on there, a phone number. You call it right there, right in the aisle. We all have our cell phones with us. Call that number, and whoever answers, you ask them for a certificate of analysis, a C of A. A C of A in the supplement industry is a third-party document, third-party lab documentation of proof of what's in that label, the purity and potency. All of those companies, by the way, that I list in the I think it's the first appendix in my book, all of those companies, they produce certificate of analysis. So if you call them and you ask them, do you have a C of A for this fish oil I'm about to buy, all of those companies in the back of the book would be, yeah, look, can I send it to you? They'll even offer to send it to you by email, mail, whatever it is. I personally would love for you to actually receive it and look at it. And matter of fact, in my book, I teach you how to read a C of A and what to look for. But here's the thing. You don't even have to go that far with it, Dr. Z. As long as you know that this company has a C of A and they're willing to send it to you, that's probably enough for you to put some confidence in that product. If the person on the other phone says, I have no idea what a C of A is, you hang up the phone and you move down the aisle and you find another product that has that C of A.
Well, I like that the C of A looks for not only microbes and quality, but also heavy metals and things like that too.
And that C of A that's in my book, by the way, Dr. Z, is the standard certificate of analysis that quality control labs all follow. So, that document that's in my book, it can be used for all C of A's, no matter who the company is, because the labs follow that same standard of quality when they're checking the product.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, that's certainly a super important when people try to, walk into the health food store and then they're kind of overwhelmed because the deck is stacked against the consumer because the FDA doesn't allow us to make claims like we can with drugs, and so people have to search out good sources like your book here, The Supplement Pyramid.
Appreciate it.
And make those decisions, hopefully become an educated healthcare consumer.
Well, we have to kind of take control of our own health. I mean, you would agree with that, right? I mean, unfortunately, you're right. We're in a position, and maybe it's not unfortunate. Maybe it's a good thing that as a consumer, I just need to be more in charge of what I'm taking. I need to learn more. There are good companies out there that can help you in that process. Hopefully, my book can help as well. Radio programs like yours and the Natural Nurse are good. I mean, these are all important in today's world because we have to. It's kind of like a grassroots effort, isn't it, for the natural industry, the natural supplement industry.
Well, as I always say, healthcare reform is self-care reform.
There you go. I love that. That's awesome.
Good. Yeah. Use it. Use it and spread it around.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's an awesome bumper sticker.
Yeah, it is. So
okay.
Yeah.
So now people walk around and, they get bombarded, but, there are some mistakes people can make when buying supplements and things like that. Now, another thing is they do need to know what medications they're on, because there are a myriad of interactions between supplements and drugs. I think it's a little overblown, but then there's also, you know, kind of like people have genetic isoenzyme, mm-hmm. You know, factors that involve how fast they metabolize drugs or herbs and slow. So a lot of those things they may not be able to understand unless they go to a licensed healthcare practitioner who could run different tests and understand these things. But in general, they should certainly know what medications they're on and some of the interactions. Would you agree?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. And you know what's really nice about that? Most of your medical centers today that do have wellness programs, the University of Texas in Dallas, where I train, has one now. Cleveland Clinic with Dr. Mike Roizen, the Cleveland Wellness Center, has a nice website where you can, and there's other ones, by the way, but you can plug in the drug, plug in the supplement, and it'll pop up a little window telling you if there's any known interaction whatsoever. So that's where technology has become really nice. So it is easy to kind of check whether or not your supplement or your drug may have some interactions with the supplements you want to take. But I think you said something interesting, Dr. Z, that it is somewhat overblown, and I agree with you. The good news is there are very, very, very few absolute contraindications between drugs and supplements. A lot of people don't realize that. There's very few real dangerous interactions that can happen. And so hopefully will give some people some peace of mind.
Yeah, because, but, you know, it's sort of like, I got to say this, that there's, again, we're stacked against people, doctors and a lot of the even websites. If you read these things, you wouldn't even bother taking the supplement, even though it shows efficacy and they say it's good. They would rather keep you on the pharmaceutical instead of the nutraceutical or whatnot.
Yeah, no, of course. So I agree with you. Yeah, I think we need to be aware of the medications we're on, and you know, and hopefully that this is another little plug for integrative physicians like ourselves, Dr. Z, where I think it's important to find an integrative doctor that you trust, that you have a nice relationship with, who can also work with you setting up your regimen. And I make that disclaimer in my book. In no way does my book replace a doctor or anything like that. I think lining up with someone who understands drugs and supplements is very important. And the good news is there's a lot of websites out there that can help you to look at those interactions as well.
Now, as your book progresses, Dr. Smith, you get into the personalization of some of the pyramid, and you use different, because it's a general book, you can't replace that with good medical testing to really individualize the supplement program like you would seeing you or I or another mm-hmm. practitioner. But nonetheless, some of the quizzes that you have are very good, and I think honing in on the needs of particular patients. How were those quizzes designed, and how are they laid out?
Thank you for asking. I went back to my clinical practice days. You know, when I was in internal medicine, if somebody came into my office with a complaint of whatever it was, headache, chest pain, you know, before I did any sort of testing, lab work, you know, I asked questions and I listened and developed a clinical history. So I did the same thing here with the quizzes. I took what I call real clinical assessment questions. I put them together in a series of 16 quizzes. So these are questions, Dr. Z, that you would ask in your own office, I think.
Yeah,
you know?
I recognize quite a number of these things,
so
although
a lot
of people don't know the answers. It's like, I'll give you an example. Is your homocysteine high? Well, I noticed that insurance companies aren't even covering you running a homocysteine.
I know, yeah.
Even if you code it to the point where you're trying, you know, the patient has some inflammatory condition or whatnot, or folic acid deficiency. So a lot of people don't know the answers.
They don't.
To
they
these
don't, and that's why.
Questions.
So that's why there's a for each one of those types of lab questions, there is an I don't know option. And if you say I don't know, I have to see. Here's how the quizzes work. If you answer yes to a question, in a sense, what you're saying is I have that risk factor.
Right.
Okay. Now, some risk factors have more points associated with it because they're more dangerous. If you tell me you smoke, you're going to get three or four points in the heart quiz, for instance, because we know smoking is just terrible for your endothelial cells and your arteries and stuff like that. Versus if you tell me your homocysteine's a little high, maybe that's 1 point. So each question is, in a sense, is a risk factor or a symptom. And it has a point system, a point value with it, based on how severe it is, how independent of a risk factor it is, how severe that symptom is. In the case of a lot of the labs, they get 1 to 2 points. And if you tell me you don't know your level, I give you a half a point, because unfortunately, I have to look at statistics. And the average American walking around out there does have a slight elevation in homocysteine,
right,
which is a cardiovascular risk factor. So I'm going to give you a half a point. Hopefully, at the end of the quizzes, I do go through the labs, because that's the next layer of detail for personalization after you've taken the quizzes. I cover things like nutrient testing, genetic testing, other types of labs, cardiovascular testing. And so hopefully that part of the book will encourage you to seek out a way to have some of these tests done so you can go back and change your answer to yes or no so you know more specifically. But I have to, you know, again, as you say, I'm not talking to these people individually. I had to figure out a way to
it's fabulous. I mean,
yeah.
This is really, it's well thought out, and it's certainly, if you didn't consult with a healthcare practitioner, of course we recommend that you do, it still gets you in the ballpark. But I'm looking at the time. We have to take a quick half program break to identify the station and do some PSA type stuff. So again, stay with us. We're talking with Dr. Smith, Michael Smith, author of The Supplement Pyramid. And you know, even if you eat a pretty healthy diet, you really, really need to read this book to find out what supplements you should be taking. More when we return. Stay tuned. And we're back with more of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. I'm Dr. Z, Dr. Eugene Zamperone, and we are here talking with Dr. Michael A. Smith. He's the author of The Supplement Pyramid, and just fascinating stuff. I love the lab section in the book, Dr. Smith. If people would read these and then ask their doctors to run some of this test, see a tremendous change in the public health.
Oh, absolutely. So just so your listeners understand, the middle part of the pyramid is the personalization. It begins with those quizzes, but that's just, as you know, Dr. Z, the beginning. To really understand truly what your needs are internally speaking, blood testing, nutrient testing, hormone, genetic testing, that all is important, and I describe all of those types of tests and why they're important and who should get it. And I think you're right. I think these are kind of things that, let me say it this way, Dr. Z. I really do believe that the wave of the future for all forms of medicine, even in allopathic medicine, is personalization. It really is. It's really, even the allopathic doctors, you know, where I came from, they're even realizing that that one drug that they like to prescribe for high cholesterol doesn't work the same in each individual person because we're genetically different. We have different needs, we have different risks, and so this idea that we can personalize the approach to these age-related disorders that we're dealing with, I think, is really awesome. And that's where I write about a little bit in the second part of that personalization chapter about those labs. I wish everybody would get these labs done. It would make our job a lot easier, wouldn't it?
Oh, I know. We're still working with, I call it Leave It to Beaver medicine, you know, kind of like 1950s, you know, like the 1950s workup that your father used to get, or...
Right.
If you're older, whatever, or younger, whatever, my father, at least at his age, that won't cut it today. You need to know these things. You need to know how to restore your hormones, reduce oxidative stress, ease inflammation, prevent glycation, look at cellular energy markers,
right.
treat the gut, support detoxification, move the blood and chi, optimize sleep, balance stress. And these are all things that you talk about in Chapter 6 under the optimization level of the pyramid. Let's go over some of these things in the last few minutes of the program here. Restoring hormones, why is that important?
Well, you know, the simplest way to say it is, you know, the hormones are key messengers in your body. Your brain needs to talk to your body, whether it's your heart, whether it's other brain cells, nerves, gut, you know, whatever it is. Your brain is the command center. It has a certain command that it needs to get out to the body, and it does through these hormones. Hormones carry that message that will help certain tissues and cells in your body to do what the brain needs it to do. Well, guess what? As you get older, you lose these messengers, right? There were some studies in the 1940s and 50s that clearly showed a nice association. Now, again, I'm not saying that loss of hormone causes age-related disorders, but there's definitely an association, because when you see the drop in hormones, specifically the steroid hormones, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, pregnenolone, when you see the drop, DHEA, when you see those hormones drop, usually starting around your mid-30s, continuing out the rest of your life, really, that's when you start to see a rise in the age-related disorders, the metabolic diseases, the cancers, the heart disease. That's because your brain isn't able to talk to your body as well. I mean, that's the easiest way that I can explain it. So if you want your brain to be able to talk to your body, you need hormones. You need those messengers.
But the shame is we're seeing this trend in younger people. I'm having people in the 30s coming in my office, and they on paper they look like they're 80. If I whited out their age and showed it to one of my medical students, naturopathic students, they would think that this patient was 80.
Yeah, no, and you see that even, you know, in women, you know, there's this thing called estrogen dominance, and it's usually a sign that there's some changes there, maybe entering into the perimenopausal phase. Estrogen dominance comes along with some symptoms like fibroids, fibrocystic breast disease, all that kind of stuff. Those are all signs of estrogen dominance. That was something, you know, even just 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that we didn't see until women were in their 40s and 50s. Well, guess what? I'm seeing it in women that are in their upper 20s now.
Sure.
Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. There's a lot of estrogen-like compounds and chemicals in our environment that are probably causing some of that, the stress, the lack of sleep. I mean, yeah, we're seeing hormone deficiencies, younger and younger.
A lot of people can't detoxify estrogen in the liver, too. Like, they're missing, because the diet's bad, and they're missing those great compounds that help the liver and kidneys detoxify, they're woefully inadequate in these things.
Yeah. So the first thing I talk about in this chapter, when I mention the restoring hormones, is get tested, right? That's the first thing, and there's different ways you can do that: hair, blood, saliva. I'm not, you know, I didn't, if you notice in the book, I didn't want this to become a debate about what might be the best way to do that. I just, whoever you work with, whatever doctor you work with, whatever they're comfortable with, just stick with that, get your hormones looked at, and start correcting those imbalances as soon as you can, because that's so important. Remember, that's how your brain talks to your body, those messengers.
Now, oxidative stress and inflammation are huge. They're actually theories of the aging process that have been around for many decades. How come they're important to mitigate?
Well, you know, the oxidative stress, we define that as a buildup of free radicals over time. Free radicals is just a fancy way of saying very highly reactive compounds. Usually they're oxygen-based compounds. It doesn't necessarily always mean something sinister like toxins and stuff like that. When you make energy from sugar and oxygen in your own body, you produce some free radicals. Mm-hmm. So even your own metabolism will produce a few free radicals. And as you get older, they kind of build up and can start to damage your cells and tissues. The problem is the environment we live in today is really raising the level of oxidative stress like we've never seen before. So on one hand, we're doing things like improved sanitation, for instance, that's allowing people to live longer, which is good. But in order for us to really continue to see that increase in longevity, we're going to have to do things to counter the oxidative stress that's getting worse, because then we're going to eventually start negating any of the gains we've made in longevity. So we need to reverse those free radicals. We need to protect our body against them. Now, there are tests you can do, by the way, to look at oxidative stress. These tests aren't, in my opinion, quite as reliable as they need to be yet. I think the best one out there is called the isoprostane test. Isoprostane is simply a chemical. When there's a lot of oxidative stress in your body, regardless of the source, isoprostane levels will be elevated. It's that simple. We just don't really know what those numbers mean quite yet. Yeah. I think we need to do more research, but hopefully in the next couple years, that will be a readily available and cost-effective way to look at oxidative stress, and to maybe even test some of the products you're taking. If you're doing an antioxidant formula, to follow up with isoprostane levels, that might be a good way to test quality of the product you're taking or the diet that you're eating. I mentioned in the book, you know, at this point, I think it's safe to say if you're an average American and you're in, you know, let's call us middle age, whatever that actually means, 35 on up, you probably have a lot of oxidative stress. I think that's a safe conclusion. And so I talk about what are some of my favorite antioxidants. Now, of course, this book is mostly about supplements, so that's where I focused.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think, Dr. Z, I've ever done a lecture or a radio show or wrote an article where I didn't talk about pomegranate, for instance.
Okay.
I love pomegranate. I think it's one of the best antioxidants we have out there. It doesn't rank as high as some other food sources and supplements on the ORAC value, which is a measurement of how strong an antioxidant is. But it's just there's just tons of research showing the benefit to your brain, your heart, your gut of pomegranate. So I talk about that, elderberry, acai, lipoic acid. These are some of my favorite antioxidants that I think more of us should be taking.
Now, if you go on Google Images, there's something called the antioxidant pyramid, which kind of dovetails a little bit with your supplement pyramid. So at the top of the pyramid are your endogenous antioxidants like the glutathione, the catalase, the superoxide dismutase, and then you have the plant ones a little lower and CoQ10. So There's got to be a priority of some of these supplements.
Well, yeah, and so that it's interesting you mentioned that pyramid, because to me it's reverse. I actually would think that the intrinsic antioxidants are probably some of the more important ones that we want to try to maintain. Look at glutathione. So I would put those at the foundation, right? To me, that they belong at the bottom because you build up the pyramid. I know that a lot of people think the most important is at the top of the pyramid. No, to me it's reversed.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, you have to have that strong foundation. So if I were to write a book on the antioxidant pyramid, I would put glutathione at the base. Why would I do that? Because glutathione is the most potent intrinsic antioxidant we have as humans.
Yeah.
Right? So that to me is, so I want to first do things that are going to help to boost glutathione levels. Now, how do you do that? Well, you first of all start with a good multivitamin, because if you in that multivitamin, you're going to get some of the minerals and vitamins that play a role in helping your body produce glutathione. So that's why a multivitamin is so important. You know, we talked about how it helps us to be a healthy human. Part of that is a lot of those antioxidants, vitamin antioxidants, mineral antioxidants that you find in multivitamins actually can help to support glutathione levels. You can also do things to boost glutathione directly, like N-acetylcysteine, which is one of the antioxidants I talk about in the book. So I do think that the foundation of an antioxidant regimen should be to try to boost your own intrinsic antioxidants. And then from there, I would build up with the plant-based ones and then maybe even move to the top of the pyramid with some of the protein antioxidants.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. It's like, I guess the pyramid could be interpreted as different things. It could be interpreted as a dose thing because, you know, you kind of make some of these things, or it could be that the pinnacle of the pyramid versus the base is importance. I mean, I guess you could depend. Your interpretation of the pyramid's important, though.
Yeah, the pyramid, whatever pyramid you're looking at has to come with kind of a key
Right.
A description of how they... So for me, the supplement pyramid goes from the base up, the foundation up. So you have the foundational products we talked about, then you got the personalized ones. And now what we're really talking about with my book, Dr. Z, is the top part, the optimization part.
Yeah.
So for instance, if you're doing the foundational products, you've got a few core personalized products that you're taking based on the quizzes and maybe some lab work you did. Now, let's say you want to add something like N-acetylcysteine because you want to boost glutathione. That's at the top of my pyramid because it's a little bit extra that you're doing on top of the foundation and personalization.
And the doses may not be as concentrated at the top, right?
Well, I don't, you know, the dose to me, this really wasn't about dose for me.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I do have an appendix in the back where every nutrient that I recommend, I tell you what that average daily dose is.
Okay.
So I give you that information. But for me, it was more about just identifying the key nutrients that someone might need based on their own needs. And then at the top part of the pyramid, based on what their own goals might be for living healthier longer.
Yeah, so that's a very important way to, you know, because, you know, you have to use your book as a tool, and you have to know how to use the tool.
Right. So mine goes from the ground up, that foundation up, yeah.
But don't you think sleep is important? I mean, I find that if I can't get people to sleep, man, I'm just doomed to fail sometimes as a practitioner. So I think that, you know, that and stress and whatnot are extremely important part of optimization, particularly if someone's suffering from chronic insomnia.
Sure. Yeah, so the top part of the pyramid, even though in the book I focus it more on counteracting those cellular aging mechanisms that we kind of been talking about here, but the top part of the pyramid can still be somewhat personalized. So if sleep is an issue for you, you might want to be loading up on some, better sleep styles. You know, we have lifestyles. We should have sleep styles as well, which means when you go to bed, what you're doing before you go to bed, that kind of stuff. You need to look at that and maybe take some supplements that are going to help you as well. I also mentioned in a couple videos I've done for the book that the top part of the pyramid could also be something. Let's say, Dr. Z, you're preparing for a marathon, and you need to know that you want some more protein in your diet for now, or maybe a protein supplement. That would be at the top part of your pyramid because that may not be something you're going to do every day, or maybe once you're done with the marathon, you might stop taking that. So it goes to the top of your pyramid, not towards the bottom, because it's important right now based on what you're trying to do. But once you've accomplished your marathon, you might take that protein out. So that's why it's at the top of the pyramid. So the optimization can be somewhat personalized based on your own fitness goals, sleep goals, you know, whatever else you might be going through.
Sure. And, you know, I think this is where we need to look at patients' genetics, their family history. Like, if you know, if you look at your grandparents and you know that they both passed of heart disease, of course we're living in a different time, that's for sure. And we have so many more toxins now. But those genes haven't changed. You're more prone to get those things, particularly with all the environmental assaults we talked about earlier in the program. You better get on the stick and optimize it towards the cardiovascular wellness.
Sure, and that's a good example of how you can use the optimization part of your pyramid. And I have people doing that. A friend of mine, just like you said, has a significant family history of heart disease. As a matter of fact, we're talking about fathers, uncles, even a brother, all having died in their mid-50s from heart disease. So this is something he's really worried about. He took the heart disease quiz. He scored off the charts. So he's really revved up a lot of the heart nutrients. And then when he got to the optimization part, he added some additional heart ones.
What are some things that you recommend for folks, being that heart disease is so prevalent? We could discuss that.
Well, sure. Yeah. You know. Okay. Well, this is. I just did a lecture recently about some of the lesser known heart disease risk factors. Here's the problem with treating heart disease today, Dr. Z, is we've been kind of told a lie. We've been convinced by the pharmaceutical companies that if we can lower cholesterol and fat, we're going to eradicate heart disease. I was actually told that when I was a medical student.
Yeah.
This is back in the late 90s. And that obviously is not true because we have millions of people on statin medications. We have millions of people who have normalized their cholesterol numbers, and yet we still, what's our number one killer? It's still heart disease. So obviously that's a lie. Here's why. There are 17 known heart disease risk factors. Cholesterol is just one of them. If, in my opinion, if we're really going to make any headway here, we need to start looking at some of those lesser-known heart disease risk factors. For instance, low hormones. Low testosterone in men is a heart disease risk factor. Low vitamin D. You know, that's why that multivitamin is so important.
Yeah.
Low vitamin K2 would be something. I mean, everybody with a heart disease history needs to be upping their vitamin K2. Levels. Omega-3 fish oils, when you're low with those important fats and inflammation is up, that's a risk factor. So there are simple little things you can do to counter some of those lesser-known risk factors, and I think that would make a huge difference. You can't just focus on one risk factor, lowering cholesterol, and think you're going to be fine. You're not, and that's why people continue to die from heart disease.
Yeah, and I see it all the time. People bring in their blood work, and they kind of correct the number on the lab, they think everything's peachy keen, as they used to say.
And of course it's that. It's all of the age-related. If the one thing we've learned over the past, say, couple of decades about all the age-related disorders, whether it's heart disease, Alzheimer's, cancers, these are multifactorial diseases. There's not just one mechanism causing that disease, right? There's not one mechanism causing a heart attack. And we need to open up our research and identify more of those risk factors if we really want to make some headway in preventing and treating them. And heart disease is a perfect example. It's not just cholesterol. There's 16 other risk factors that have to be addressed.
Yeah. So as we almost end the program, a few more minutes, do you see any significant trends taking place in the supplement industry, and what's next on your horizon as a researcher, writer, and?
So I think there are a couple of trends, and that kind of leads into some things I'm interested in. I think we're going to see more and more spices in the industry being used. There's a lot of good research about to come out on all different types of spices, specifically with their anti-cancer properties and their cardiovascular properties.
Mm-hmm.
So look for more and more spices, even some more exotic ones, maybe ones you haven't heard about. For instance, you know, bergamot, which is a lot of people don't, you know, aren't familiar with that, but there's a lot of good evidence showing that it has some great cardiovascular benefits, and I think you'll start seeing some bergamot products out there. So I think the spice industry is really about ready to explode.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you, Dr. Z, I made that prediction like 2 or 3 years ago, and it still quite hasn't taken off yet, so maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but I'm still waiting for that. For the spice industry. The second one, and this is where I'm really interested, it's a field of study called nutrigenomics. It's how food and nutrients affect gene expression. Not necessarily change the gene as in a mutation, but simply influence how genes are expressed in positive ways and negative ways. What we're learning is that the DNA that you have is simply a blueprint. I mean, we used to, and maybe you were even taught this way, Dr. Z, that your DNA, what you have is what you have. It's set in stone, right?
Yeah.
That's true in the sense of the genes you got half from your mom, half from your dad. Yeah, so there's some truth in that statement. But what's really important is how those genes are expressed. And what we're learning is that the environment we live in, the foods that we eat, even the supplements that we take, can influence, either good or bad, how those genes are expressed. So I'm interested more in discovering what I call natural transcription factors. These are compounds found in nature that influence gene expression. They're also known as promoters, if you will. Let me one quick example here is theophylline. That's a compound found in black tea.
Yeah.
Theophylline has been known now, specifically, it's called theophylline type 2, has been shown to decrease the expression of cytokine genes, inflammatory genes. So that's just an example of a nutrigenomic effect. So I'm really interested more in that field of study, nutrigenomics.
Right, because then you can figure out look at people's maps and make sure that they don't, that they head in the right direction.
Yeah, and it's really kind of from the ground up when you do that, right? When you're influencing genes in a positive way, the outward result of that is going to be a healthier person, because it's kind of like you're building it from the foundation. Your genes really are that foundation of who you are. It's just not set in stone, and we can influence. It's kind of like it's a foundation that can be influenced. But when you really work on the genetic level of somebody, to me, it's kind of like the found, just like my pyramid, the foundation of health.
Dr. Smith, it's been a great pleasure to have you on here. Michael A. Smith, author of The Supplement Pyramid. This is certainly a keeper, folks. And hopefully you'll read this, and you've taken a lot from the program and certainly from the book. Thanks a lot again, Dr. Smith.
Oh, I appreciate it. And your listeners can go to mysupplementpyramid.com, and all the quizzes are there online. It's for free.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
And that does it for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Dr. Z signing out. Stay healthy, folks. Bye-bye.